Okay, these are continuing dialogues with Dr. Chetna. The question is about, you know, past experiences of highs and euphorias and, or potent experiences of, in the past, of enjoyment, of whatever it might be, whether it's an addiction or not. And one has recognized that this is harmful to me and I don't want this to be repeated. What does one do? So could you please explain that?
Yeah, so the whole idea, like you said, or the question was how most of these people who are addicted to like different things, it's because they have certain experiences, whether it's food or other forms, alcohol and different things. So I think meditation is a very powerful tool because it can take you to realms of having that experience. One needs to stay in those and go deeper, first of all, in meditation to find ways of getting those mystical experiences, excuse me, to do that. So that is the extent of which you can actually do it. And so if you go in that direction, you can have breath work, which I have, you know, I'm currently exploring, which is huge, which can give you these chemical, you know, secretions like DMT, the dimethyltryptamine, which is what is used for drugs. People who are on, you know, heroin and cocaine and everything, which is what they seek or they, you know, want. So this is how you do through meditation, breathing, breath work. You go deeper and deeper in it. You need to find other experiences without harming yourself is what we want to do, and that's the meditation. So we can start with the simple meditation, but you can go deeper and deeper in it, and to find that space where you could experience all these things. Again, it's hard work. It's obviously not like popping a drug, but you can do it. Breath work is huge. I can tell you that it even that takes time, but it takes lesser time than even just plain meditation and going into that space. So these are things you can do. The other things in the meantime is to really find things like exercise. It's a huge de-stressor. Endorphins are huge. And that's why people are doing all these extreme forms of exercise, climbing mountains, ultra runners, triathlons. You know, all these people are looking at different ways of knowing how much or where they can go with this, and also trying to push the boundaries to realize how much one in their potential is also. So I think these are all things need to be explored by people. Like, for example, if somebody has an has this craving, they can really go out for a walk, hop up on the treadmill and really go in and do even to 10, 15 minutes. You're going to have these endorphins kicking in. You don't want that thing anymore. Of course, there is occasions when you have a celebration and everything. You want to be, eating those because you're human. You're here on earth to experience good things too. So it's not going to be harmful. Your body doesn't break down with one piece of sweet or anything. The problem is how much have you given, how much or what state it is in now. So if you reboot that with all your good, you know, reverse it with good food, good thoughts, good meditation, exercise, relationships and et cetera, you know, all the foundation. You can eat a piece of sweet, you can eat more than that. The body can metabolize anything and actually detox and get rid of it. It's not going to have any harmful effects because we know that, think about this body, it is so amazing. It is such a complex machine, if you want to put it simply, that I don't think we know enough of it at all. We think we know the systems. We really don't know enough. It's evolving more and more how the body actually functions. There's millions of chemical reactions going on throughout the body. The body always tries to correct itself. The problem is the mind-body connection which comes into the play. And the mind is the problem. So that's why the body can't do a lot of things because the mind, not spoils, but it comes in the way in the sense like the communication is such that it sends wrong signals. And so the body has to do accordingly. So that's why that's the other thing. What happens in meditation when you go into that space, when you go beyond your body and your mind, now the body doesn't have the interference with the mind. So it is going to start detoxing. It is going to start doing its work, which it hasn't got to do in years because the mind has kept telling them all the misinformation. It's like somebody's feeding you all the wrong information from the media, and you build these thoughts and you build these impressions and everything and all of that. But the same thing, if you take away the mind, the body knows exactly what to do. It's like can fix itself completely.
That's an extremely powerful statement. If you take away the mind, you mean like the disturbances of the mind, the body knows. So it's like an innate intelligence.
Yeah, absolutely. The body is really perfect. Think about it. All the things it does, how the heart functions, how the kidney functions, how the liver functions, every organ you can think of, the body knows what to do. It signals when the body needs food, everything. But the mind comes in between and disrupts the whole thing. It starts sending wrong signals because of what you've been through or what your memories are and emotional things and everything. So then the body has to adjust constantly do these things, and that's what disrupts the whole mechanism. So we are interfering so much because of the mind. So when I say take away the mind, you integrate it more and you realize that you're sending the right signals now to the body. The body's going to stay healthy. So that's just, if you really look at it, it's very simple. Of course, you know, to put it in practice is complicated. Otherwise, we would all have done it. But that's the thing about what we're doing, trying to adopt with meditation. Because of meditation, you are going to be more aware of, you know, your thoughts, every thought that comes through. So you can actually help the body eventually and your life in general.
No, it's very well said. And, you know, I think what really fascinates me from what you were saying is that meditation and different varieties of it can give an individual an experience like being high on a drug, let's say, or having a wonderful experience eating a lot of sweets or some of the other kinds of pleasurable, enjoyable experiences, but it doesn't come with any harm. In fact, it's going to benefit you. So you kind of have your proverbial cake and eat it too. So could you talk a little bit more about that? Because I think that is a very attractive point for anyone to take hold of meditation, to actually go into it.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the thing. In fact, the thousands of years ago, all the Himalayan yogis and everybody, this is all they did. They spent lifetimes, you know, if you believe in lifetimes, but I'm saying even their lives, trying to figure out what else is in you. And when you explore, you deprive yourself of water, you deprive yourself of food, you deprive yourself of all the things and go inward and just observe about what happens with you. You see phenomenal things happen inside of you. We don't even know, half of the world doesn't know that we have energy systems in our body. We have electricity running through our body, which can actually light up a whole city. That much energy we have. We don't know our power. So these things and sages figured that out, how they could light up their whole body by just breath work and just going inward and really looking at themselves. So can you imagine how much power you have? We are only talking of these small experiences and everything. But once you delve into it, you can experience much more than this. The point is to know this is number one. The second thing is, how far are you going to go in it to actually want that? The yearning has to be there. That is something which is innate in many people, and the levels are different. Now, there are some people who said, I don't want to even know what's deep inside me. I'm happy where I am, and that's okay too. The problem with that is you're happy with where you are till your body breaks down. And once the body goes into illness mode and it suffers, then you're like, oh, I don't know why this is happening to me. Mm-hmm. And without, little do you realize that you actually caused it. When I say caused it, I mean like with your wrong thinking and, you know, not eating right and this whole complex process. So, but to what we want to come out in this is how powerful we are to reverse these things, to actually take control of that, say, how do I want to live my life? Do I want to live being sick and ending up in the hospital back and forth? No, we don't want to do it. We just want to live the best we did. So you can even find at least a middle ground somewhere where you're going to say, let me experiment. How much does it help? So as you do more and more, you will see that you'll have less of these, at least those anxiety, depression, and not so good feelings will get better and better as you go along.
So, you know, we talk about the health construct, the idea of health. And I think most people would say they want good health. We've said that over and over again. But to actually say that I don't want the damage, I don't want the illnesses, you know, to put it in that language is also equally important. You know, wanting health is like a positive statement, but not wanting all the illnesses and the problems and the damage, and to hold that mindfully. Could you say something about, you know, about prevention in that sense? So you have people who are not unhealthy right now, but and they want to stay that way, right? So that's a prevention. And then those people who are on the road to, you know, becoming healthy, and they want to move along that road. So could you say something about prevention in that context?
Yeah. So
I'm asking the question really in terms of preventing, you know, the same cyclical patterns, the negative loops, but we can call that relapse prevention also with addictions, but also people who have never gone into that realm, to prevent from going into that realm, because it may seem like an attractive thing that after having had a couple of drinks or after having had certain kind of experiences, oh, this feels so awesome, let me just go into it further. You know, so it's a question about prevention, and maybe we can end the recording here with that today. So.
Yeah, so prevention is key. You know, obviously, because of the state of the health around the world, not just this, you know, in America, it's everywhere. Because of all the things which, there's umpteen number of things. The state of health is not, again, just food. You know, it is many things.
Yes.
You know, we have, it's a smaller world now because we have all the information sharing and everything. But what happens with that is there's a lot of disturbance. There's a lot of fear, which is building up more than which was before, because before, if you know, there's only a small part of the world something was going on, the other part of the world didn't know, and they were pretty happy. So they were not sharing this, you know, the fear and doubts and mistrust and the world falling apart and what's going to happen to human race and things like that. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be connected, but that's what's becoming a major problem. So when you have certain things like this, there is so much of chaos. So like we said before, there is no, you feel like there's nothing under your control. And so what happens when you have the helplessness is you just keep going up and down. So that's one of the factors, not to mention people's greed and people's, you know, trying to accumulate wealth for themselves. And so, you know, obviously the foods are tainted and there's a lot of toxins and everything coming into the picture. And these kind of things, you know, and there's much more. But what I would say to people is you have the power, because ultimately, like we discussed, it's all about how you control your inner environment and take that power with you and say, what can I do the best at this point? Yes, I'm not saying you can, and you don't need to. You don't have to take away all the toxins and everything. My main thing is if you believe that you have the power, number one. Number two is how do I sustain that power and use it for the betterment of myself and the other people around me? It can't be only you. It's much more than that. We're all humans. We're all connected. So we have to do that. And when you, and then of course, select whatever you can in the foods you have, the best options you can. And even this poorest person can prioritize what they can, you know, buy and not buy.
Yeah.
If you have $100, you say, okay, again, remember, we eat more than what we need. So if you really learn to eat small portions and you eat the best food in the small portions, you can easily use the $100 for your food. The problem is we're greedy about it because, again, the mind-body connection, and you have these cravings, you're going through all these things. So that's the usual problem with suffering. It's not about not having enough even. So it's the mindset. Saying, I am in charge, I'm going to do my best, I'm going to make the best of this life that I have you know, I want to live. Mm-hmm. So it's a combination of all these things. So absolutely, prevention is possible. It's just changing the mindsets of people to say it's possible, number one. And how is it possible is to these things. Meditate, control your inner environment as much as you can. And I say control, manage it. You know, not control, but manage how the best ways to do it. And, you know, eat the right food and everything else will come, you know, together, and you will not really have a disease. The problem is when you, and the problem actually what I see mostly is people don't introspect. They don't look at themselves, what they're actually doing. They just go with the flow every day. It's like a rudderless boat. Okay, I'm going to get up in the morning, brush my teeth, you know, drink my cup of coffee, check my emails. Then again, I'm going to work, do the same things at work, and then come back and eat or whatever, eat junk, and then go to bed. So if you're not, you're only in the outside, you're really not going inwards and seeing what's the quality of my life. What am I? Am I happy? Am I not happy? Am I using all my potential? There's so many factors like that. So once the introspection is the key. If you start introspecting, you can come out with a lot of it. Nice. The thing is, if you just go outwards and live the life like that, because somebody told this is the way to live, because my peers say this, because the public says this, because the president says this, or because whoever you trust says this, and you go with the flow, then you are at the mercy of that, you know, of the outside circumstances. So it is going to cause suffering. It is not going to be a wonderful journey. But if you want to make it more, you got to take the, you know, onus on you and say, this is my internal environment. I'm going to do the best I can at every stage in my life, every day in my life, every moment in my life. And that's how, you know, people who live well and successful, so-called, not money-wise, I'm saying just to living a good life is what I call success, is possible, definitely. And that's prevention. That's it.
Mm-hmm. See, it seems to me that, you know, through all of your teachings and all the things that you're saying, there's like a common thread, that there's a thread that runs through everything you're saying, and see if I've got it right here, and maybe you can really clarify that. Your emphasis is on the inner world and inner synchronicity, inner harmony, you know, irrespective of circumstance, whether it's economic circumstance, life circumstance, family circumstance, whatever it might be, health circumstance, whatever the certain situation may be, you are emphasizing the harmony within. And I believe what you're stating is that if we can harmonize from within, then that is really where true joy and happiness and balance and, you know, where real life is there. So is that right?
Absolutely. And when you harmonize within, you're going to see even your relationships with people, how we can, you know, we can all live in this world together in peace. Because every individual, if they try to do this, they would find that it's all about cooperation and there is no competition in this world. This is just, you know, the politicians, this is all the other people, you know, capitalism, whatever, has created these things in your mind as survival of the fittest is the way to go. And if you don't take care of yourself, nobody else will. You know, all these things I've been hearing a lot. And that is not the way human beings are by design. And if you read or if you listen to this famous geologist and, his name is Greg Braden, he talks about, because of his investigations in the past, he talks about relics. He's a geologist, and he talks about climate cycles, all these things. He says human by design are not competitive at all. This is just even going against Darwin's theory, where we, you know, this came from. Just because Darwin said doesn't mean it was all, you know, it was okay for that time being, maybe, but it doesn't make sense now. You know, there is no survival of the fittest. That's because we don't think about ourselves and we don't go inward and create that balance. Mm-hmm. There is enough food going around to feed the whole world and more. The problem is the mindset. When you take away and there is a tilt of all these accumulated wealth and food in one and pouring it out into the drain and not sharing it with the rest of the world. Right. That's the disparity. That's sure. the whole issue. So it's human behavior. It's yeah. the human is the problem. So where does the behavior come from? It's not looking inside.
It's almost like the unfit mind is creating the notion of survival of the fittest.
Exactly. It is. It just is because you're not looking inwards. That's the point of going inwards. We realize that, hey, wait a minute. We're all one. There is no way human beings are not one. It's one humanity. Why do we call humanity? Because you're really one entity. It's not even different beings. Yes, with flesh and bones we are, but we are so connected with each other, with energy vibrations and everything, that it has to be looked like that when you start looking at it like that. And the only way you can look at it is when you go inwards. There is no way to say outwards, because we look at people, we are separate beings. And that's the problem when the separation comes. That's where the discrimination comes. That's where looking at somebody at every level, not just color, just by education, by work. The only reason why even these different people in different occupations is because they're good at that, what they do. It doesn't have anything to do with upper or lower. There's nothing, no levels at all. So these are all created with the mind, if you really look at it. So that's the whole idea about looking inside, which is going to help you in so much more in the world, like living in harmony and living together in peace and calm and joy, ecstasy even. So these are all connected. Yes. This is not just even health, it is much more than that. If you look at it, health is only a small factor in this life. It's just life itself. It's just being here.
It's like being high on life.
Exactly. And that's what happens, comes from. Giving is a huge part of that. Being a part of other people, having the best relationships is a big part of it. Otherwise, as human beings, if somebody was secluded in an island, they would go crazy. Why? Because you're not people to be in isolation. Yeah, periods of time in solitude, but not real isolation.
Right. Absolutely, yes. Because you use the word ecstasy, ecstatic. We just have a couple of minutes left here. It seems to me that an ecstatic life is a very full life. It's a life that is filled with tremendous amount of awakened energy. Maybe you could say something about that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all awakened. And like I said, we have energy to light up the whole, city. So when you awaken more and more energy, remember, everything we do has to be converted for energy. Like the foods we eat, the thoughts we think, it's all converting into some form of energy. Why do we eat food? Because we need that much amount of energy to go into the cells. But we could do it ourselves. The harness this in so many other ways that this happened thousands of years ago when they didn't eat foods for days and years.
Right.
Literally years. How did they do that? Because they knew this power they had in them is so much more that they could actually harness that from inside into their, into their being. So that's the thing. So when it goes into ecstasies, when you go into the brain, when certain chemicals are released. So that's what you're trying to redirect your energies in by tools and techniques through meditation, which is going to bring you into that ecstatic state, which only tells you to be in coherence in the world. Not just your own mind-body. We're talking about coherence, global coherence. We're not only talking about... The idea is if individual coherence happens, then it will lead to global coherence.
Yes.
And that will be a whole different humanity. And that would be the best group of people, which is amazing.
Which would really indicate... Or what you're saying is a strong indication of what is possible for each human being.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And to recognize that possibility and then to grab hold of that. I mean, listening to these recordings is a beginning, but to really actually believe it and to grab hold of it would bring about the realization you're talking about.
Absolutely. Again, listening again and again, introspecting and application.
Mm-hmm.
And then will lead to realization.
Yes, absolutely. All right, that's very nice. Thank you very much, Dr. Chetna Kripal.
Thank you so much.
All right.